Hey everybody, welcome back. It's 2021. This is Press X to Start, episode 1 of season 5.
We made it.
You guys made it through 2020? Congratulations. Same shit, different toilet, 2021.
Damn, you know what's fucked up? Some of our readers may have gotten COVID and maybe they're not with us in 2021.
Oh my God. Hopefully that's not the case unless we...
So, RIP to any listeners who aren't with us now. I know that's fucked up to say, but...
Yeah. Yeah.
But they wouldn't be here.
Start, you know what, anyway.
Jesus, Sean.
Anyway.
We hope that everyone, I think what we want to say is we hope that everybody who is listening is in good health. And we wish you a great 2021.
Yeah.
And if you're not, I mean, you know, listen to us while you're on the ventilator.
No, Jesus Christ, Sean.
Oh my God.
You know what? I'm not even going to do the opening spiel because it just doesn't feel right. So,
just be safe out there, everyone. Please.
Yes, please be safe. And I'm your host.
Oh, my God.
Heavyweight champion from Witch Niggerwood, California, a.k.a. the janitor because I'll be watching niggas, a.k.a. these white people are savages. They need to be stopped. I'm tired of these white people in my streets ruining my America.
Every 2 to 6 months, they say that's not the America I know, but it is. It is.
Marcus Ellison.
I am Sean MF Ross.
What does MF stand for?
Aladdin in the sheets and Aladdin in the streets.
What?
Aladdin.
I love this cast, man.
What the heck is Aladdin? Is that Paula Deen's sister?
You ain't watched The Dictator with Sacha Baron Cohen?
No. I only saw previews.
Oh my God.
Go watch that movie.
Okay.
Oh my God.
And it's Jordan, aka JXbox, aka formerly of Raventhorpe.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you're formerly now?
Yeah, I'm done with that game. I'm done with AC Valhalla. So that's where I'm at. And actually, you know, Jordan San. I'm now in Yakuza. I'm now in Japan now. So Jordan's on.
Look at my man crossing seas.
Okay.
And last up, it's your boy DJ, aka the best D with a V, aka. Wait.
I don't like this personality. It's not the best.
The best V with a D.
No.
So I was trying to do a cyberpunk thing, but
no.
I don't think that worked.
I thought you were acting like an SSX character.
Never do that again.
Ooh, I like that.
Never.
I'll try that next time.
Ever do that again.
AKA, did you know?
What?
On December 31st of 2020, the New York Times posted a very somber message from the one and only game, Farmville. It's been... One week since you looked at me. Got your head to the sides and I'm angry. No, okay, I'm just going to read the message. Farmville, which had 32 million daily active users at its peak, shuts down on Thursday. The game helped transform Facebook from a place you went to check up on your updates to a fucking cesspool.
correction. It was already a cesspool.
The reason why this is important is because... Back in the day, back in my day, I actually did a lot of testing for Farmville.
You old as shit.
Oh, look at me. I'm a game developer. I worked on Farmville.
So you contributed. You know what? Technically, you contributed to Trump getting elected. You helped people spend more time on Facebook, more lies. It's been a whole lot of lies spread here at this table tonight. But one thing for certain.
Thank you, Shaw, because I was getting to the fact of me actually being the villain the entire time.
Nigga, we been known that.
Bake them away, toys.
So, peace out, Farmville. Wish you luck in hell. All right.
DJ's a giraffe with devil horns.
I mean, now you have Candy Crush and all these other apps too that are linked to Facebook.
Wait. You know giraffes have horns, right?
I said with devil horns.
I mean, you can sharpen them.
Okay. But now that we've all been introduced, we're going to get into our first what we've been playing of the year. So, guys, what we've been playing outside of Cyberpunk.
Wait, stop. Before you even do that. There you go. Yeah.
See, you didn't let me get it.
Started out strong.
We did a Cyberpunk review, and it should be out by now, so make sure to go watch that and subscribe to our YouTube channel. But outside of that, Jordan, what you been playing?
You know what? I'm now dipping my toe.
Dip the toe.
Oh, God.
Into the elaborate universe that is the Yakuza series.
That's kinky as fuck.
Okay. Well, Yakuza's, you know, it's been around now for like years upon years. It's basically like a Japanese Grand Theft Auto, but, you know, without carjacking and all that. Right. Game Pass.
Oh, yeah, you can't.
Has, I think by the end of this month, we'll have all of the Yakuza games on there, except for the most recent entry. So, you know what? I'm like, there's not too many games out right now outside of, you know, one of the more anticipated games that I'm interested in, probably come out within the next 2 months. But I have more than enough time now to see what the hype is about. And it is fun. It's a very, very unique game. Very authentic in what 1980s Japan is, because Yakuza Zero is actually a prequel that takes place in 1980s Japan, but also still very cartoony though. The combat is not as tight as games of this genre, one being Sleeping Dogs. I think Sleeping Dogs still has some of the best, you know, open world combat systems I've ever experienced, but, you know, very much so in RPG, you know, you're putting money into specific abilities and changing your stance during battle. But there's one unique thing about the game in terms of its jankiness. Its presentation goes through three mediums, in my opinion. There is the hyper-rendered, beautiful, you know, fully fleshed out cutscenes. And then there's a tier below it that still has them moving their mouths, but it's in-game. And then there's a tier below that to which they're not saying anything. It's just text. But when they would say text, it'd be like one word like, yes. Or, hmm. Like the whole text comes out. So
they hit you with the Super Nintendo shit.
Yes, yes. Yeah, so wow. Sometimes in one interaction, it will go between each one of those mediums. It's pretty hilarious. Yeah, I love it. But yeah, it's fun. Like
Shenmue walks, so Yakuza can run.
Yes. Mm. So I mean, like the story. I mean, I'm like about probably 5 hours in. And the story's pretty engaging. It's a pretty cool caper. Like, you're a reluctant Yakuza affiliate that gets caught up in Yakuza shit. And, yeah, like, the narrative got me locked in right now. I'm very excited about it.
Okay.
And also, I've been playing Assassin's Creed Valhalla. That is over. I am done.
Get it out of here.
Even though there's a few lingering side quests associated with it, it is very, very done. Like, I finished up the main core story thread. It had a pretty strong surprise at the end of it, especially if you played the other two, being Origins and Odyssey.
Yeah.
And also, it kind of goes full circle with the whole series, too. I'm not going to say anything else, but I'm like, all right, damn, they fucking went way back with that. Even though I didn't play 1, 2, and 3, some of the story thread does harken back to that storyline, to Desmond and all that. But overall, yeah, there's a reason why it was my number one game last year. It held me all the way to the end in terms of the story, in terms of the combat. And in terms of scope, it was not as large as Odyssey was, which was a good thing. Because Odyssey had me going through that for fucking, you know, seasons. Yeah. Like, I'm glad they kind of, like, just brought it back.
Streamlined it.
Yeah, like they brought it back for us, you know? Like, games should be... I mean, you know, I finished it at hour 106. You know, fucking Odyssey went to hour 200, you know, at least in terms of comparison. Jesus, so, Christ. Yeah, like, Assassin's Creed Valhalla, totally recommend it. I'm very much convinced that their next location will be Persia. And, yeah, that's what I've been playing so far. I think it's a 9 out of 10 for me for Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
Okay.
I would have to agree.
Sean, what you been playing?
I've also been playing Assassin's Creed Valhalla. I am not playing it the most conventional way, but I'm enjoying the shit out of it.
When you say most conventional way, what do you mean?
I mean, I probably play it in a manner in which Jordan would clutch his pearls. But I mean, like, okay, you have the raids that you do. You don't have to kill anybody. I just run. Normally, I'll run it and go sneak up to a chest because for some goddamn reason, you're raiding raw supplies from monasteries and churches, and they're in the grandest of chests.
I know.
For some fucking reason.
Like, huge golden cladded chest is like, you have raw materials. I'm like, man, look at all this shit in here.
Like, these chests are the size of you almost, and it takes two people to open it. And when you look in there, there are gold and tapestries and all sorts of riches in there. But you're just there for raw materials to build up your settlement for some fucking reason.
I think a situation where the asset versus the intent of it don't correlate.
Yeah, it's just like, all right, I guess. But normally I will sneak into, you know, whatever monastery until I get to the chest. And then I'll start the raid. Or I'll take out as much people as I can and then start the raid and maybe like pop a lock so they can run in there. Because like I tried to do it without starting a raid before and Eivor will just sit there and say, come on over here, come on over here, but nobody will ever come.
Is he another person to open the chat?
No one will ever come. Yeah, it's kind of funny.
Eivor's super weak.
But I'll start a raid like that. I am enjoying a lot of the side quests. A lot of them are really sad and effed up. I think I came across one earlier where this fisherman was fishing, you know, at the bottom of a cliff and these bandits pushed a rock on him or a boulder onto him to kill him.
Yeah.
Because he wouldn't pay his taxes, quote unquote.
Yeah.
And there's another one where I think I was going to like a high point, a synchronization point. For anybody who's played Assassin's Creed, it's all about getting to the highest point in a region and you synchronize and it does this 360 beautiful world view to show you what's around. And, you know, it highlights shit on the map. I was going to a sync point and at the bottom there were these girls, like, because it was a submerged tower or something. You know, you could dive under it. Yeah, and these girls are waiting for their father to reemerge with some treasure.
Sorry, girl.
That he was trying to get at the bottom of the lake or whatever. And you get down there and he's drowned. He's dead. For some reason, his limbs were missing, but I don't know about that. Maybe that was a glitch.
Fish food.
I mean, like, he was headless and armless. I don't. Whatever.
Wait. So how did you even know that was him then?
You know what? You're right. He might have ran out to get some cigarettes. Some medieval cigarettes.
Sean, there was a note near his body or something like that allows you to confirm.
So, hold on. Did this son of a bitch write the note underwater? Like, I don't get it.
I mean, like, it was a note he had on this person to confirm that it was him. And it was like, you know, you could have either given the girls what he found or kept it for yourself.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because every time, like, a family member has died in this game, like, when it's a part of the side quest, you have the option to keep the shit for yourself or give it back to the grieving family member, which is hilarious. Like, I didn't find anything down there, you know?
There's times you can just run off and they're like, hey, what the fuck are you going? And then it's mystery completed.
But yeah, this is pretty much enjoyable. I understand what Jordan meant when you have to level up to beat certain things. I don't like that you have to do that.
You finally gave in to my way of thinking. You finally gave in to the world I told you about.
Yeah.
Then open your eyes.
You can definitely struggle if you have the reflexes, but I mean, it's like taking on a damn Monster Hunter monster where it'll just take you a good half an hour to whittle down their health.
Jeez.
But
I've opened your eyes. You can't close them now.
Yeah. But the thing is, you don't have to kill anybody in this game. Sans anybody like critical to the story. Like, everyone is literally fodder to the point where you can just run past them because they don't even give XP. They give 10 XP for every person you kill.
Mm-hmm. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Maybe 15 for stealth kills. And then if they're like a special person, you know, when you kill them, you get 50 XP and like a custom or a special death animation for them.
The thing is, you...
That sounds wrong.
The XP points come from completing mysteries, finding loot, and doing raids.
That's where I was getting to. So
you can almost upgrade, you know, multiple times depending on a raid or certain mysteries. Or certain storylines, quests you complete.
Yeah, so throughout the story quests, the mysteries, the artifacts, and I think the wealth, you'll get a good 1,000 to 4,000, 5,000 XP. To the point where that's why I say there's no point in killing anybody in a raid. I'll just go get the treasure and bounce.
That kind of sucks.
I feel like the game is long as hell. It's enjoyable. I can only imagine how fucking long Odyssey was. Like, I know you suggested going back to play it, but I couldn't.
If you thought this was long, Odyssey's a whole different fucking monster, man. I bought a new house after I beat that shit. I finished graduate school after I beat that shit.
Jesus.
So, I mean, Valhalla is very well streamlined as far as the RPG-focused Assassin's Creed goes. And I would say I would recommend it. I'd give it close to an 8 or 9 out of 10. I have a male Eivor still because, you know, the female voice just kind of threw me off. But,
as you see it.
Yeah. I'm still rocking the original gear. I have not changed my clothing. No, no. Mm-mm. There's no need. I don't get hit.
Ugh, wow.
Very rarely. I have upgraded my rations.
Yeah.
But I'll just, once again, I'll brute force through shit. I've killed a few of the legendary beasts.
There's a pretty rough arrow glitch to be mindful of. When you run into it, I'll tell you how to beat it. Like, they haven't patched it out yet, but like, once you upgrade your arrows all the way up, it'll glitch out to level 1. But there's a way to fix it in the game.
Hmm. Well, then I'll just stick where I'm at then. I'm only 2 away from max. Other than that, for Christmas, I got the Razer Kishi controller attachment for your phone. So,
all snaps.
I've been playing more Stadia because I have the Stadia controller and they have like the clip that you can, you know, clip your phone to the controller and the phone sits on top of the controller.
Yeah.
But it's very top heavy because you have to kind of balance the controller as you're playing it. And it's just not an enjoyable experience. Whereas the Razer Kishi kind of transforms it almost to like a Switch type thing where the screen is in the middle and the buttons are on either side. And
how are you liking that controller?
I would recommend it for everybody. It's for Android and it's for iPhone. And if not that...
You had me at and.
If not that, they also have something called the Backbone for iPhones. Either one of those, like, you know, for playing mobile games or, of course, if you got, like, emulators. Funny enough, I think last cast, before we ended on the year, I had a PlayStation emulator. And I was going to start up Parasite Eve, but I don't want to get into that just yet. However, on the Stadia, though, I did start playing, for some reason, this game called Submerged Hidden Depths. And it is a exploration game. There isn't any combat per se, at least I haven't reached any yet. But it looks like this is a post-apocalyptic world, but it's almost like Waterworld. Because there are these little islands and stuff that you sail between, and you're pretty much trying to return something to its former state. And this isn't even a good game, but for some reason it has captivated my attention, and I don't know why.
You know, we all have those games that just come along.
I know Donald can relate some.
What are we talking about? All the games I play are quality.
But no.
This, we know, Cam can relate.
Oh god. But this is a 3D game. They have vantage points. You know, you climb up towers, you sail around, you upgrade your little dinghy that you sail around in. And
yeah, I'm looking at this now, and it's like it's a full fledged 3D game. I'm actually
like
dead shocked.
Ass surprised. It has grabbed my attention. Like, it's not a
wow.
It's not a AAA game by any means, but it is like relaxing.
Yeah. Have you played Oceanhorn?
Yes, but...
Okay.
I wanted to play that with a controller.
Is that a name for a whale dick?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Depends on what your kink is, Marcus.
That's disgusting.
No. I downloaded Oceanhorn on the phone many moons ago, but I was like, this is something I'd rather play with a controller, but I didn't want to buy it on the console. So, yeah, I mean, I may try it again with the Razer Kishi controller.
Yeah, that'd be the first game that I would play if I were to get a controller from a phone.
But I would check out Submerged, guys. And
Oh, wait, are you enjoying the Xbox app?
I have not
what?
subscribe to that just yet.
Oh, okay.
Because once again, I'm still playing Assassin's Creed. I got Demon's Souls still to finish. I got Black Ops Cold War recently for $10, kind of. There's a ton of shit to play.
Wait, what's kind of?
So the same way, the same way I got Assassin's Creed, my cousin bought the PS4 version. I had him sign on to my PS5 so I could play the PS5 version. He bought Cold War, and I was like, hey, did you buy the cross-gen version? I'll pay the $10 for you to upgrade. So I paid $10 for it, so I have it on my PS5. I just have not played it yet.
That's hilarious.
Nice.
So the PS5 being in low stock has kind of worked out to my benefit for all of these cross-gen, cross-buy games. Because everything he buys, I'm going to play the PS5 version. But yeah, that's me.
Well, I played and beat Cyberpunk, and you could hear about that on the review cast. And then outside of that, and played Overwatch, or been playing Overwatch, which basically, you know, it's more Overwatch. And then I just downloaded Greedfall from the January PS Plus games. So
yeah, plus we got that. And Maneater. Well, that's a PS5 free, but whatever.
So we'll be seeing my impressions on that until something of worth shows up later this year for me.
I told you go play Black Flag, goddammit.
I said. This nigga paid. You guys need to know this. Sean paid me to buy Black Flag. This man cash after me $30.
Black Flag's still $30?
Nah, it's $9. But I was sending him extra money for all the appreciation and shit he does on this podcast.
Help me, I'm poor.
Say what he really did. He bribed you, Marcus. He bribed
you. I mean, look at this nigga webcam. It looked like it's a 480.
Oh, damn.
So this.
God damn.
This nigga get a ring light and an HD camera for his makeup tutorial, and he's shitting on everybody else.
Look at you living in squabble.
What you been playing, DJ? Dang it.
Oh, thanks for asking, Marcus. I also, actually, I can't even say I beat Cyberpunk. I'm on my way to beat Cyberpunk. By the time you guys hear this, I will have beaten Cyberpunk and will have changed the video review to reflect that I've beaten Cyberpunk and my views at the end of it. Other than that, of course, I've been playing Gundam. Normally, I don't talk about it, but there's two reasons why I'm talking about it. One, it is the new year, so happy New Year to everyone. And two, Gundam had the audacity to go down for like 48 hours.
Does that mess up your dailies then?
Because they knew you weren't playing it, and you're the only person keeping it alive.
Actually, there's like 2 million plus
people. What's the end of Gundam? What is the final mission to that game? What's the point?
There is no end, Jordan. The final mission is you breathe, you press pause, and you start it all over
again. It's multiplayer like Call of Duty. That's all.
Yeah, it's multiplayer.
But slower and uglier.
Depends on what Call of Duty you're playing.
All of them. All of them probably perform better.
Notice that he did not defend Gundam. He went and attacked Call of Duty. For the record.
I said what I said, Sean. But Gundam went down for like 48 hours. And in that 48 hours, I had to...
call the suicide crisis hotline?
Come to a reckoning.
Where is Josh?
That Gundam is a very Gundam is a very big part of my life, and when I don't have it,
you have to talk to your wife. God damn.
Whip drop. We do that anyway, Sean. Okay. It's just a little harder without Gundam. Anyways, that's it for me. Actually, I might start Greedfall as well.
All right.
Because it did look interesting. True, I was just not willing to pay for it. So,
you know, I heard that it's a big step up from Technomancer, which isn't saying much, but we gon' see. And damn, it's free, so I can't be mad if it sucks.
No, I can still be mad.
Okay, well, fair. But that's what we've been playing. Before we go any further, we're going to have a word from our sponsors, Antifa.
Because Trump is a terrorist.
Sponsor us, nigga.
Hey, everybody. Have you been enjoying this episode so far? Would you like to make sure you keep getting the best last news, reviews, and all things video games? Then we need your help. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our show. And if you have, share it with your friends, your family, frenemies, people down the street. Every little bit helps. To see what we're up to throughout the week, follow us on either Facebook and Instagram at PressX2Start, on Twitter at PressX2S, and on YouTube at PressX2StartTV. If you've done this, many thanks. You're one of the good ones.
And we're back. And now it's time for the quick hits.
Number one. This comes from TechSpot. Cyberpunk 2077 has lost 79% of its stream players since launch.
Yeah.
I said percent, right? 79%?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
that's kind of not surprising. I will say that the caveat is Cyberpunk is a, you know, single player game. So after someone plays the game, they beat the game. And especially how Cyberpunk works out, you don't really want to go back and like start over. So this is, it's a big number, but it's also not super surprising.
Yeah, I mean, that's roughly a month after release now.
Yeah.
And some people probably powered through it.
Exactly. Exactly. Another thing to add, though, this is kind of a tangent, but I believe IGN put out a survey on Cyberpunk to ask players either if they've played and beat it, if they've played it, and then two other options. And like the majority of people who responded say like they haven't even started playing the game.
Damn.
So that's another thing, too. Number two, this comes from Games Radar. God of War Ragnarok will launch on PS4 and PS5, claims former series director.
Cautionary.
So,
I'm of two minds on this. Yeah. I am glad that y'all can play it. More people playing it.
He's like, y'all not getting no PS5. I'm glad that you can play it.
This nigga just flexed on us and tried to act like it was a nice thing to say.
No, I mean, I'm glad that, you know, not just y'all, but...
You broke ass niggas.
People won't be deprived of it because it's only going to be on PS5, because gaming now is like the hot thing of the month.
Yeah, you're right.
And if you miss it, you miss it, kind of. Whereas...
I mean, of course you look good. You have exaggerated black swagger.
Sean is on the top portion of the Titanic. The Titanic is going to London from New York, but you guys just have to be...
Nigga, you have an Xbox Series X. You're on the top two. Shut up.
I'm on y'all side. Don't worry. I'm on y'all side. There's more... Sean, just think, there's more of them than of you. So I have to ally myself appropriately.
Eat the rich. Eat the rich.
Okay, but on the other hand... I would like to see a next-gen only first-party title taking full advantage.
Yeah.
Like, kind of like Ratchet and Clank, but that is a different aesthetic compared to what they would be able to do with, you know, Horizon, God of War.
I'm almost feeling at this point that we won't get our first, like, true blue, like, PS5 exclusive until the end of 2021 or 2022.
Like in my opinion, I think Halo Infinite is in the same boat. It is going to be a cross-gen, multi-platform type thing, like PC and all that other shit. But the reason why they pushed it back again to next year is like it was more on the Xbox One side of visual fidelity than the actual, you know, upgraded systems that people would want associated with the Xbox Series X. So these cross-generation titles are becoming difficult to make and extending the time to make them.
Yeah.
Okay, so for the consumer, this is a good move. The only thing that I will add that is, you know, kind of annoying and kind of this Sony talking shit was earlier last year, they were talking about how when they look at themselves compared to Xbox, they believe in console generations and that, you know, we're taking a step forward in the console generation. So, you know, there's going to be a wall between the PS4 and PS5. And then, like, as things break down, you know, it's like that was just marketing bullshit, just trying to separate them, just trying to not even separate themselves, but more so trying to defend their decision for not having a Game Pass, whereas Xbox is like, yeah, we're going to have a Game Pass so you can play the games on all of our consoles. So, like, looking at this, I would be interested to see what happens with Ratchet & Clank, because that is the next big exclusive that's coming out for the PS5, and that's supposed to be a console exclusive. So it will be really interesting to see if that just sticks with that, but then Ragnarok, you know, being both PS4 and PS5 is kind of like, well, we also don't know when Ragnarok is coming. No one knows when Ragnarok is coming. But yeah, number three. This comes from Deserto. Is it Deserto?
Why can you never say this?
The X, man. The X is going to give it to me. Apex Legends is working on a new game that will let players adventure forever. So that sounds like open world games of Surface.
Well, I mean, remember, you guys ready? Apex Legends devs, it's Respawn. Like, Respawn. Yes,
it's
Respawn.
It's not Titanfall, though.
I know it's not Titanfall. It should be Titanfall, but it's not. Yeah, but, yeah,
the new game.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, Respawn, they are a solid game developer in terms of their ability to make a good game. But, yeah, like, if we are truly tired with these games as a service games, then they would stop making them. And you know how EA is. EA's trying to get that money. You know, so...
I wonder how much of a hand EA will have in this, because Apex Legends only started out being, you know, super successful in spite of EA.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping they didn't have too much.
Yeah, it'll be real interesting to see exactly, because I think the sentiment is they're going to go with Apex Legend and kind of maybe expand that out into like a, basically do what people wanted Overwatch to do in terms of like making a like open world game that's not the first person shooting. It's like, I mean, more
they,
than
they
that.
They have the lore. They have, but two other games that fed into its narrative.
Exactly.
I don't know. I would love to have a concise single player Titanfall 3, but, you know, I mean, if it's good enough, an open world environment, then I'm for it. You know, we'll see what it looks like. It'll be weird, though.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the thing. It's like, you know, we just have to wait and see, because we have nothing to go on other than this sentence. Number four. This comes from IGN. Dishonored co-creator is working on a new Arcane game with Dishonored and Prey developers. This is actually, like, I like Dishonored. I was kind of lukewarm on Prey because of the whole horror vibes of it. But, like, this is really interesting news to see those two are working together.
I think I have Dishonored. I just never booted it up. They gave it away for free.
I also tested Dishonored, so I have history with that game. But oh yeah, so I guess take what I'm gonna say about Dishonored with a grain of salt. I don't ever really say that, but I'm gonna say it now because 2021.
He worked on Farmville, y'all.
I felt like that was a dig.
Hold up. So whatever the game ends up being, it will be part of the new era of Microsoft-owned Bethesda games.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes, I was about to get to that. So, yeah, so this game is most likely going to be an Xbox exclusive.
Okay. So, that's so next story.
Yes, next story. Number five, IGN. Outriders delayed till April. Oh.
Next story.
Demo's coming. That will come in February.
So disrespectful.
Oh shit. Oh my god. Alright. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much all I'll say. The demo's coming out February, so check that out if you're interested in that game. That game kind of just went up like a star and went out like a light.
Like a light.
Number six, IGN. Prolific video game and anime voice actor Brad Venable dies at age 43.
Rest in peace.
So he was actually one of the characters in Devil May Cry 5.
I think that Persona Marcus... as well.
Oh, wow, okay.
I think he played V from Devil May Cry 5.
Yeah, it was V. I was looking for his name. Yeah, so that sucks. Oh, he also played roles in My Hero Academia and Hunter x Hunter and Dragon Ball Super.
Oh,
and on Attack on Titan.
Yeah, he was a pretty big voice actor.
Wow. Yeah, he was also in Black Ops Cold War as well.
Wow.
And in Demon's Souls remake.
Hmm. He was a working ass dude. Remake.
Jesus. Mm-hmm.
That, I mean, in terms of anime, that's usually how it is, though. Kind of like the Troy Baker, Nolan North syndrome is like, kind of like the same voice actors over and over again.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I mean, that doesn't mean they're any less talented, but, you know.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Rest in peace to him.
Yeah, man, that's tough.
Number seven,
yes. This comes from The Verge. Twitch will change the face of PogChamp every 24 hours. So I'm actually going to give this off to Jordan because he actually had some stuff to say about this.
Yeah, no, this is one of those internet moments to which pop culture, internet culture very much so aligned, even political culture, pop culture, internet culture. So PogChamp was this fairly notorious, I mean, not necessarily notorious, but, you know, famous meme used in Twitch to express someone's excitement, you know, in regards to what's going on. It's kind of like one of those memes that kind of brought Twitch to prominence. And unfortunately, the individual behind it, the actual face of PogChamp, Mr. Ryan Gutierrez, or GoTex, was tweeting out during the siege of the U.S. Capitol yesterday, the Washington, D.C. riots of 2021 is how it's going to be remembered as, encouraging more violence towards the Capitol. And turns out that he's not the
fucking idiot
best human being on the planet. That the people have researched more about him and his personality.
Who
so in response, Twitch, which is, you know, pretty unprecedented, came out and deleted the meme. You can no longer use it in Twitch, but out of celebration of progress, Twitch has asked many other content creators, other Twitch users to submit their image and reproduce, you know, the meme itself. And I think monthly they're going to switch out, you know, the PogChamp. Daily.
They said daily.
Whichever time frame they choose, they're going to switch out the image of someone else new. So still have the effect of it, but don't be a racist. Don't be part of the MAGA group, you know, like it's gonna be difficult for you.
Or do. I mean, you know, it's your pursuit of happiness over here.
Well, like it's even like beyond the MAGA, it's like, you know, you were promoting violence. You know, you were inciting violence and, you know, putting people's lives in danger. So you deserve to be punished for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And people died.
Or outside of that, you know, like, obviously we don't support it, but if you're going to support that, don't be out here with the surprise Pikachu face when consequences hit your ass.
Exactly.
True that.
Please keep that same energy. Say it with your chest.
Remember, you have the freedom of speech, but you don't have the freedom of consequence.
Exactly. You also don't get the freedom from these hands.
These hands of justice. You have to do it now. You have to do that. You just have to listen to the podcast.
Close out the quick hits, DJ.
Oh, Jesus. Last up, speaking of laughter, this comes from The Verge. Nintendo once laughed Xbox executives out of the room over a Microsoft acquisition offer. So this actually happened years ago. So people.
Yeah, make sure for this. It's not like it's happened last week.
Yeah.
Though I wouldn't blame them if it did.
Yeah.
Nintendo, like, what?
Nani? Laughs in Japanese.
So yeah, this actually happened back in before 2001, actually.
Because what they wanted to do was use Nintendo's infrastructure to get into the video game space.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, Nintendo was already fairly large at the time, and Microsoft was still an infant, at least in terms of that game space. So
yeah.
It made no sense for Nintendo to partner. Mm.
Yeah, that's really interesting. It's just like one of those nuggets of gaming history that like, comes out way afterward. Yeah, right.
But, I mean, not to say Xbox couldn't buy Nintendo today. They like, probably could. I think Nintendo's valued at like $40 billion or something like that.
True.
Yeah.
Xbox can put the offer, but Nintendo would just decline.
Master from Chief's over there.
Their culture.
Does Master Chief have a power up? No. Then get out of our office.
Does he save a princess?
Does Master Chief like mushrooms? Then get out of my face.
Is Master Chief an Italian stereotype? No. Then leave.
Anyway,
okay. Oh, but that's it for the quick hits, and for our one and only heavy hitter, it's really just a discussion on, you know, what we're excited for 2021. Mm-hmm. So basically we're gonna round robin, not red robin, but round robin.
Red Robin, area.
The games coming out in 2021 that we're excited about. And I will start out. So,
Marcus, what games are you excited about for 2021?
I'm going to be real with you. I didn't even know some of these games, or at least I just wasn't thinking about some of these games until we looked at the list. I knew God of War Ragnarok I was excited about, because of course, even though I wasn't entirely sure that it was going to come out in 2021. But now that I know that it is, that is definitely my number one for sure. And then outside of that, Horizon I'm excited for, though I will not be playing that on PlayStation 4. I will not. I refuse. And outside of that, Returnal looks cool. I've been thinking that game looked cool since it got announced, I think, at the Game Awards. E3, I think it
I'm surprised you want to try it.
I mean, it looks cool. I don't know a lot about bullet hell games, but it looks cool. So basically from what I've seen, I think it'll be interesting. And if I hear enough good things about it, I'll give it a shot. And outside of that, Mass Effect Legendary Edition, because I still don't fully know what that is, but I know I like Mass Effect. And so and it harkens to a period of time where BioWare was at the height of their powers. And it'll be nice to kind of relive that a little bit. Especially with super sexy graphics.
I'm currently playing like the original Mass Effects on the Series X, and I just want to see how much of a difference in visual fidelity is going to be at the Legendary Edition, or if the Legendary Edition is going to cover all three games. You know, so I mean, I would love to play it too.
Right, like I'm anticipating it being like, because I think we've said this before, I'm anticipating it being like the Mafia Definitive Edition
of 1,
where we get a full-blown remake of Mass Effect 1,
right,
and then just, you know, prettier versions of 2 and 3. Yeah. But if they go the full Monty and they done remade all three, I will be shocked.
That'd be pretty nice. But you would kind of hope that that's what they do.
Fuck hopes.
Yeah, but I'm not getting my hopes up. So
hopeless.
Those are my three. I mean, those are my games.
So for me, I kind of the same headspace as Marcus. I kind of forgot about some of these games that are coming in 2021. So
it's a pandemic. Are we even in 2021? I think it's still 2020.
Ah, yeah, it feels like still part of December. But for me, the games that I am excited about: Riders Republic. So this is that Ubisoft game where the trailers showed the people like hundreds of bikers and parasailers and all that stuff. They were just like going down this hill and like it was switching to all kinds of extreme sports and stuff. Like that speaks to me on such a primal level that I just instantly got so excited for that game in a way where, like, the only way that that game could be a disappointment for me if it just comes out as broken as Cyberpunk. Like, even if it's just like a six, damn it, I'm gonna wear that six on my chest.
I don't think that it will come out as broken as Cyberpunk, but Ubisoft when it comes to new IPs, like The Crew and stuff like that, they come out a little bland. Because The Crew was a... The Crew had a shit ton of bugs up in it, actually.
You're not wrong.
I would hold my breath in terms of bugs either, but outside of the bugs, The Crew games, they just weren't there in terms of game design.
Well, good thing I have backups on this list. Like this one, God of War Ragnarok. I'm also excited for it. This is just kind of a default thing. You just know that the experience is going to be there, so I'm waiting for that. Following that, we have Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart. I love Ratchet & Clank, and like Ragnarok and probably Riders Republic, I'm probably not going to play any of these games on my PS4, so whenever I get my PS5, I'll be playing these games. After that, we have Horizon Forbidden West, which is a sequel to Horizon, but not really, because they didn't want to put a 2 in there. They're kind of weird.
The 2 is there, you jackass.
Oh, I'm sorry. Damn.
Are you insinuating that this is Horizon Miles Morales?
Yes, I am insinuating that. Anyways, I'm excited for this. I want to see what they do with that. I really liked Horizon 1. I just felt that the pangs of this being their kind of first go around at something like this, like, I wanted more interactions with the mechanical wildlife, and like, I really like the breaking of the armor and stuff, and I feel like they've had some time to think about and refine that feature and hopefully go more in depth with that, because I think the Tyrannosaurus was the only animal that you could break off a weapon for and use, right?
Possibly.
Did that happen with the other creature?
That I remember.
I think so.
Yeah. So, like, I want more of that. And I also wanted more interactions with the creatures themselves, or, like the whole food chain. Like, I want to exist in a world where you can, like, be a part of the food chain and also watch. So, like, Monster Hunter was what I was hoping for. That would be that whole thing, but it didn't work out.
Funny enough, you can watch other animals attack each other in Assassin's Creed, as well as I was walking past and I seen these two dudes just swinging on each other, just whooping each other's ass. Yo, this shit's hilarious. But go ahead.
Yeah. So next up, this is actually interesting. Hogwarts Legacy.
That looks fun.
So yeah, it's one of those games where I think will be just an enjoyable experience, and I don't know. Like, I'm hopeful that that game is good. Like, yeah, that's it. Like, I'm just hopeful for that game. Last up, Anthem 2.0.
Maybe.
It better come out this fucking year. If it doesn't come out this fucking year, yo, I'm gonna go up there and talk to them. I'm not gonna really do that. I don't care. But so this is one of those things where people who enjoyed Anthem, myself included, are really hoping that they're able to turn this game around, you know, like No Man's Sky did. Like, it came out, it was a pretty good game. it worked.
Did y'all see that ghost?
The Marcus come back. He's wearing the same colors. He's like, did Marcus come back?
He forgot to turn off his camera.
Oh my god.
Marcus, who was that?
It's Annie.
Was she under the desk, Marcus?
Hilarious.
No, she wasn't under the desk. She just walked into the room.
Oh my gosh. But yeah,
all right, Marcus Clinton. All right, go ahead.
I'm excited for Anthem 2.0. I really hope they maybe in February they actually come out with some kind of, you know, like, live stream or something where they're talking about what they did with this game and when it's going to fucking come out.
Will people care still?
I will. I will play it. I ain't got nothing else to play. Shit.
I guess. Whatever. Jordan.
Speaking of guessing.
Yeah, my list, it's all right. Hitman 3. Very excited. I've been a huge fan of Hitman franchise. Even before IO. Well, IO has always had control over it. But ever since the quote-unquote reboot of the series, I've been involved with it. But even the game right before the reboot, I think it was Hitman Revelations, I believe, like the last non of these 1, 2, and 3 that came out as new series. But it looks dope. It looks amazing. I've always been impressed by that game and what they've been able to do with the franchise, and very excited about the hijinks I'll be able to do as Agent 47 or whatever. The next game, Halo Infinite, you know, like, I think that 343 has a lot to prove in these terms of their ownership of the franchise. I mean, critically, the Halo games have been nines so far, like 4 and 5, they've been nines. But in regards to the actual player base, there's been, you know, like, it hasn't reached the same heights as the original trilogy. So this is an opportunity for them to, you know, finally put their money where their mouth is, because this is one of the more expensive games ever to be made, and come out with a good title. The new game director was actually part of Halo 1, 2, 3, and Reach, which is like, which are like the better Halos, and hopefully he can bring it back on track, because you can't lie in terms of the public impression of that game being a little bit shocking, a little rocky in terms of its development. So we will see. And Psychonauts 2, I totally expect Game Pass to have Psychonauts 1 on it before Psychonauts 2 comes out, so I'll probably play Psychonauts 1. But I like the gameplay I've seen of Psychonauts 1 has intrigued me, so I'm very much excited about Psychonauts 2, which will be released on PS4, PS5, all the consoles. Like, they've already come out and said that. But even after the Double Fine purchase, and lastly, Far Cry 6. You know, Far Cry is a hilarious game. Watch a hijinks. Got your boy Gus / Grand Moff Gideon.
Okay, whatever his name is in The Boys.
Yeah. So, even though all of me knows that it's most likely going to be him in about 4, 5, 6 scenes, it's going to be a great 4, 5, 6 scenes, you know, like,
that's true.
Because that's just how Far Cry does it. That is how Ubisoft does these games. Very crazy, stylized villain, and they're only there for about a total of 20 minutes, and then it's over. But I love the Far Cry games. They're hilarious to me. I got, ever since Far Cry 3, I've been hooked. So, yeah.
Okay. And Sean.
I'm going to try Far Cry, begrudgingly, because every time I start a Far Cry game, the shit is so jarring. I don't know if it's the frame rate or the field of vision, but their first-person shits are just...
It's tight.
Strange at first, and you have to get acclimated to it. I'm like 99% sure I'm going to get Returnal. I can pre-order it now, I just have not.
I'll wait to hear what you say, honestly, and then I'll probably get it.
You need to go play Black Flag first, nigga. It's not right. No. I like roguelike games. I kind of like bullet hell games because I remember, like, back in the day, you know those top-down spaceship games where, like, you upgrade your guns and shit? And like, I used to play Ikaruga, if y'all remember what the hell that is.
I know what that is, yeah.
Kazuntite.
But no, I mean, from the PS5 reveal, I mean, like, I was hyped for Returnal. Like, y'all, if y'all go back and watch that, so. Ratchet and Clank, of course. I have played almost all of them, except for the future games, because I didn't have a PS3 until, like, Last of Us came out. So,
I think I didn't play one of them.
Yeah, but no, I love Ratchet and Clank. It's just a spectacle to behold. Horizon, as y'all know, I went back and platinum the first one. I love Horizon. I may not be the greatest or the most adept at it, but I love the action it provides. God of War, Ragnarok, whenever the hell that comes out. That's a day one purchase. And then
on the strength.
Yep. To this day. Resident Evil Village, or AKA 8. I feel like they're just trying to figure out a way to put Roman numerals in the fucking title at this point.
They really are. Which means by the time they get to I want to know what they about to do for 10. That's what I want to know.
It's going to be Resident Evil X. That's all it is.
Or yeah. Resident Evil DMX. I don't know. But I played 7 in VR, and man, this shit was rough. I didn't get down the first hallway. I had to take it off, playing it regular, you know, watch it on the screen.
You better than me.
Shit, I tried the demos for, what was the remakes recently? 2 and 3, and...
Yeah.
That style of control is rough. I am glad they kind of...
Tank controls?
Yeah, I'm glad they kind of switched it up. I'm wondering if this one... I think this one is in first person again, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I believe so.
Because it's a sequel to 7, so yeah. It's going back to that.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to play it. I don't know if it's going to be a day one for me.
Chris Redfield built like a potato now.
He's in old country. But that's oh yeah, Bayonetta 3, whenever the hell that comes out.
Man, they've been teasing that for like what, 6 years, something like that. I remember
they recently gave a small update on that.
I used to love Bayonetta, man.
Sean, you might as well say you excited for the Parasite Eve remake.
Look, they actually announced Bayonetta 3, all right?
Oh my god.
Y'all go to hell. I'm done with my list. All
right. So yeah, that's what we've been excited. That's what we're excited for in the coming year. It's going to be an interesting year. If last year was any indication, you never know what'll happen in 2021. So
I mean, even within the first week,
You know exactly. What? This could be one of the best years of video game history. One of the resurgent years.
It could.
I'm
be.
I'm optimistic.
Yeah, but just know that every step of the way, we gonna be here. So. Be on the lookout, and thank you for coming into another year with us, and we look forward to entertaining y'all throughout.
Hell yeah.
So take us home, DJ.
Also, fuck Donald Trump. He's a terrorist. His supporters are terrorists. Again, fuck Donald Trump. This has been a wonderful episode of our... Oh my God, it's Annie. This has been a wonderful episode of the first episode of 2021, Season 5. Episode 1, because I'm going to say episode one more time. We hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we enjoyed making it. Don't forget to rate and review on your favorite podcasting apps episode. In case you missed any of this, you can find all the details and more at Marcus's Rabbit Ears and PressXNumber2Start.com. And, oh, YouTube. Go to YouTube. Subscribe. Like. Tell your friends. Steal their phones. Subscribe on their stuff. And then do it again on their friends' friends' phones. Yes. And then your family members. Because... We want to get it to 100 people, so...
And if they don't, sign them up for Trump's mailing list.
Whoa. Okay, how about... Just don't do that. Just sign your friends up. But sign your friends up, because we need to get to at least 100 subscribers. So we can have a custom URL. That's our goal.
All right. Thank you.
All right, y'all. Peace.